Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our chewed fermented rice sake. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop.
Time Pop.
That was our most in-sync time pop of all time. However many we've done, that was our bet. We finally got there.
Speaking of in sync, how about the boy band music in this movie?
Oh my God. movie was made in 2016, but I would swear it was made in 1996. The music is like a fusion of Young Billy Joel and the Gin Blossoms.
Well, this movie was originally made in 2010.
Oh.
It came out in 2015?
16, right?
It came out in America.
It says it was commissioned in 2014. Yeah, premiered in 2016. Oh, in the States, at least.
Right.
No, released in Japan on August 26, 2016. It was released on my birthday.
Oh.
Hey, this is my birthday film.
Whatever. Wait, should we do the thing that happened to us about this movie? Which, now that we've seen the movie, I don't know if it's actually necessary. So before we watched this movie, everywhere that we saw it or talked about it, they were like, don't read about it, don't see the trailer, don't know anything about it, just watch it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So we did. And I guess we should tell that to our listeners.
Yeah.
So
also, you can buy it for the same price as renting it.
Yeah, exactly.
So go for the purchase.
Yeah, there's definitely some reveals in this movie. And so you want to not know them, because then it makes the movie better.
All we revealed so far is that the music is awfully lame.
I thought it fit very well. I thought it was maybe, I don't know. But what we did watch was, in Japan, it's called Kimi no Na wa. America, it is known as Your Name. We'll get to that at the very end of the podcast, why it's called Your Name. Released in America in 2016, PG, 1 hour and 46 minutes, directed by Makoto Shinkai. Sure, I just butchered the shit out of that. I'm not going to say who it's starring, because I don't want to be that culturally insensitive.
Hello? If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
It is a Japanese anime movie, and as Ari said, it comes highly regarded. Like, we hadn't even heard of this movie until, what's the website?
This is Barry. It's from This is Barry.
Thank you.
Is that the only place that we heard about it? It was on that list?
That's what started it, yeah.
I think once we got hip to it, it started popping up a few other places.
It's Barry's number one.
So this, what they're referring to, is a list of time travel movies on a website called This is Barry.
And it's a list that we've stumbled across, and
it's thorough.
It's very thorough.
There's like 75 movies or something on it, right?
Yeah, and they're all ranked. He goes in depth on the time travel and the mechanics, and it's kind of a short version of this show. And so we had no reason. And like I said, where he had everything ranked made perfect sense.
Yeah, and this was the number one.
Number one was this.
This is also apparently the third highest grossing anime film of all time. It's kind of a big deal in the anime circle. And in 2016, I saw a chart. This film made like 20% of all film profits in all of Japan that year. It was like above Star Wars Force Awakens.
Wow.
Who had like 8% or something. And this is like 8%.
Now that we're talking, I haven't even thought about this until now that we're talking about it, that I think I've seen Your Name pop up on a list or two. But this guy had it as Kimi no Na wa, and that's why it really jumped out at us. It's like, what the fuck is...
Yeah. It says they're planning a live-action remake by Paramount Pictures currently.
By who?
Paramount.
J.J. Abrams.
Really?
Yes. He's in the talks right now, at least.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I want to see what the other anime films are. I assume they're like Ghost in the Shell and Akira. but I'm curious.
And then I want to see next is The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is the other anime one that's been.
Yeah.
Which is not time travel.
No, it is.
It is time travel? Okay.
Yeah, there's an animated, there's a live action.
Oh, okay. Is there both for that?
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to see them both. I would love a live action version of this. I mean, I guess now that I've seen it, maybe not so much, but I enjoyed this movie, but every anime to me looks identical for the first 10 minutes. Like, I can't tell them apart.
I mean, it's a very specific style.
Yeah. And to the, and even like the introduction, like the pacing of it, the scenes, the,
yeah, oh,
the
for sure.
Camera
yeah.
angles are all the same. So that's why every time I turn one on, I'm like, I haven't seen a lot of anime, but I feel like I've seen this one before.
Yeah.
And then it's not until the story starts to take off that I'm like, oh, this is new and interesting. Fun.
I mean, the artwork was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But our expectations were maybe a little bit too high, this being number one on the list.
Yeah.
That we're just sitting through like 30 minutes of body swapping. Like, I guess there's going to be some big reveal of time travel.
Yeah, our expectations were way too high. So we're at this point assuming all of our listeners have now seen this movie.
Yeah.
So we had been like waiting to watch this one for a while now and had very high expectations while knowing nothing about it, because that's what we were supposed to do. And to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah, I, that's definitely where I am now. I'm excited for this conversation. I could lean towards liking it a little more once we suss a few things out. Maybe you guys point out a few things that I missed, or I could lean the other way. And it's
hard.
It's not number one on my list. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's a little simple. It feels a little childish. The music, oh my God, so torturous. It's not that complicated. It's not that advanced for time travel. It's not that creative. You know, in his article, that's what he says, like the creativity of it, but like, there's not a lot. There's actually a diagram of their timeline that said it shows you the complexity. It's not that complex.
Not at all.
No, there's just like the back and forth. There's one timeline, then there's another one. That's the whole thing.
And it's very mysticism based.
Yeah.
Which makes it hard. There's no time machine or mechanics that we can latch onto and figure out how they used it.
Yeah.
To what advantage. It's just like.
No science.
Magic.
So yeah, we don't know exactly why it started. The body swapping started, do we? Because she visited him 3 years ago. So it was prior to the comet. So it was just starting randomly before that. Oh, because her family had happened. Her family's kind of mystic, and that's why. Because the grandma said, oh, I have dreams, and your mother and everybody else.
Oh, that's right. It is in their DNA, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
I thought they were going to go more into that. Like, maybe, like, the reason why her mother died had something to do.
Yeah. Go deeper. We're fine with mysticism as long as, like, go deep into it, not just kind of like, yeah.
Or at least, like, make his family lineage kind of line up with hers in some way. And they've been swapping for generations, this one family.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah.
But
how are you guys going to break down the plot on this one? Is it best to keep it quick and vague, or are you really going into the nuts and bits?
I think we'll start out kind of nuts and bitsy, but just to like kind of set the tone a little bit, but we're not going to hesitate to start jumping around and figuring stuff out. So it starts off with Mitsuha. It's Mitsuha and
Taki.
Is that right? Mitsuha? Doesn't sound right all of a sudden.
Well, there's the girl and a boy. The boy is Taki and the girl is Mitsuha. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Mitsuha wakes up in the morning. Everyone's treating her kind of weird. Like, you know, basically everyone that she runs into that day is commenting on the fact that she was acting really strange the day before and she wasn't herself. And she's back to herself now. She's wearing her red ribbon like she always does. And we don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. So in the beginning, they don't spoon feed it to you. They kind of like leave you like not really know what's going on, which I can appreciate, you know, kind of leave you questioning.
Didn't she wake up first grabbing her boobs?
No, that was a day or two later. That's on her because we wake up and she's not swapping. She's not swapped when we meet her the first time. She's just post swap.
She did grab her boobs.
Yeah.
Even though she wasn't.
The first was the montage, but then in the beginning she grabbed her.
Yeah.
Boobs.
Wait, what was the very beginning of this movie? It was like a music video showing you kind of like credit, like opening credits to a TV show.
They're starting with the end. They were showing them saying, I feel like I'm always reaching out for someone, but I don't know. There's just this lingering feeling. And then it showed them kind of reaching out, and then it showed like a video montage of like bits that's going to happen. And then it went to the beginning of the story.
And then, and it also shows the comet. So you know that it's kind of a...
Yeah.
So this is what's confusing. She did wake up. You see a, like a younger wake up, and it's anime. And then there's like a cleavage shot of her, which we're both like, okay, why are they focusing on a cleavage from God's point of view?
Yeah.
Boobs. But then it seemed like it was him in her body. However, she knew people's names and stuff. So that was very confusing.
Yeah. And they kept commenting about, like I said, the day before, which she obviously had been swapped the day before. But yeah, she talks about, so she wakes up.
So basically they're body swapping.
Cry. She wait. Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. We'll just jump to it. The first half hour of the movie is them.
The boy and the girl are body swapping. He lives in Tokyo and she lives in like the mountains, like an hour away from Tokyo or more from Tokyo.
It's she lives in Itomori.
Right.
Itomori. And they start to body swap. And then they kind of figure out, since it's such a regular occurrence, like it seems to be every other day at this point. For a while.
Yeah, and it's very confusing for them.
And they start leaving each other notes in their phone. Oh, and they never remember who they're, it's weird that they start to remember more and more. They know that they're body swapping, and it seems like they can remember some things, but they can never remember the person's name that they've swapped into, even though they've just spent a whole day in their body. When they wake up, they're like, she's like, Taki, wait. Shit, what's his name? But they are leaving messages like, hey, you know, make sure you don't do this. Please do that.
Well, because they both have cell phones, right? And they realize that they can do like a journal entry in each of their cell phones, kind of explaining what the other one missed when they were in, you know, in their body. And they set rules for each other, you know, like, don't do this, don't ruin my relationships. And this goes on for a while, it seems like.
Quit eating so many desserts. Quit working so many shifts. Quit eating so many desserts.
Right. So the first half of the movie is just them kind of navigating this body swapping life. You know, her trying to learn his job and him trying to navigate her life, things like that.
And the biggest thing that we get into is while she's in his body, he's a little bit sweeter. Like he's kind of a dude's dude. You know, we don't see a lot of him. We see mostly him as her, but it seems like he's a dude's dude. But then when she's in him, he's a little bit sweeter, a little bit softer, a little bit kinder. And so this girl at work starts to take a liking to him.
Yeah.
Because she likes this side of him.
And they do tell us how long this has been happening. Because in the beginning of the movie, there's a news broadcast about this comet that is going to be passing over the Earth, over Japan, in a month, right? And this comet appears every 1200 years.
Like it becomes very visible one night, but it's kind of in orbit for the month of September 2013.
Right.
Cuz and then it crashes, it comes apart and crashes October 4th, 2013.
So for this month they're kind of body swapping back and forth. And then it gets more intense for them, and then all of a sudden it stops. They stop swapping, and Taki is like consumed by
finding her.
Even though he doesn't know her name, he starts to draw pictures of this little town that she lives in.
First, they both realize kind of at the same time that they can't call each other. They finally remember each other's phone numbers, or they put their, while they're body swapped, they put their number in each other's phone. And every time they call, they say, this phone is out of service or in the wrong, there's no coverage for this phone or something.
Right.
And so that's when he gets consumed, like you said, about, okay, I know this person is real. I've been her. Where is she? I'm going to go find her. And like Ari said, he can't really remember. He can't remember names or anything exact. And so, yeah, he after seeing so much of it, he's able to draw a perfect replica of a view overlooking Itomori.
Right. And so what this town looks like is really important. It's actually a lake formed in the center of an old crater created by a meteorite that hit the Earth. And it's a town on the edge of this little like lake that has been formed. And so he draws that and he goes to, he takes a train with his friends, his two friends, and goes out there and is kind of trying to find this town. So I guess it's like...
just by the drawing.
Yeah, it's kind of hidden.
He kind of knows it's up in the hills.
He can't find it.
So they basically give up and they're slowly making their way back to Tokyo and they stop at a cafe and one of the servers sees the picture and goes, oh, that's Ito Mori. And he's like, oh my gosh, where is it? When can I go? When can I get there? And they're like, no, it was destroyed 3 years ago from the comet. Remember?
So a piece of the comet broke free and turned into a meteor. And then that meteor hit Earth, making it a meteorite. So it destroyed the town and killing essentially 500 people, pretty much everybody within the town. And Taki's like, wait, what? And like has a moment of like freaking out.
And then he goes to use his phone to prove it. And all the messages and diary entries they left for each other just disappear weirdly.
Yes.
Not sure why they would at that moment.
Yeah.
We're going to put that in the loophole category. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Story plot convenience.
Yeah. So then he takes a cab or something. Oh, he gets a ride from...
he splits up with his friends.
Yeah.
He leaves them at the hotel.
And goes to the site of the crash. But before the body swapping stopped, there was, I guess, maybe the last time that they swapped. And Taki was her. She. So he as her went with her grandmother.
So real quick, let's go back to the beginning of this. So at the very beginning, she does a ceremony where she makes...
oh, right. Yeah, that's important.
A sacred sake in this ceremony. And that's where she, as I mentioned, chews the rice, spits it to ferment it into sake. And so now they're delivering this sake to a shrine. And Taki happens to be in her body while they're taking this trip with grandma and her sister. And
the shrine is in like another crater created by a meteorite nearby. There's a lot of meteors that hit this area, apparently, on the edge of the town.
Maybe every 1,200 years?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. It must be, right?
It's from the first one, yeah.
From 1,200 years ago?
Yeah. Well, they probably live in the crater lake from 1,200 years ago, and then the dried up crater lake is from 2,400 years ago, and so on and so forth.
So Taki is in her body, right, when they're delivering the sacred spit sake, as we call it.
Yes.
Spit sake.
Fermented spit rice.
Just ferment it right in your mouth.
That's right.
So he remembers what it looks like, and so he gets a ride and goes up to this temple.
Grandma says something about her not acting right. And then you hear her come up behind, you hear grandma come up behind her and say, you're dreaming, aren't you? And then that's what shakes him awake out of his last body swap.
Right. So then that was the last body swap. Right.
Yeah.
So now we've got Taki in his own body making his way up to where this temple shrine is. And he sees the devastation of the meteorite. And he goes into the temple, the shrine.
And you should mention that the grandma gave a whole theory on time. She gave a whole time. That was like your science time speech. Is that she's like, time, everything's
like
a union.
String,
it falls apart and it comes back and it's a union.
It's entangled and it's, yeah, I should have written that down. I didn't.
I didn't have to write it down because it's straight out of the Wheel of Time.
What?
The book?
The whole Wheel of Time. Well, Wheel of Time is based on a bunch of different religions and ancient theories and stuff like this. And the wheel is not a wheel like you think of it. The wheel is a weaving wheel,
mm-hmm,
that's weaving the pattern of time,
mm,
with the threads of each person. And then those threads get woven into the fabric of time as the wheel weaves, as the wheel wills. So,
but saying it's a wheel means that at some point it comes back and connects to itself. Otherwise, it would just be a long blanket of time.
Yes, it is. It is. There is some circularity to it also, but mostly because it also becomes...
it's a loop.
It is.
We're weaving a loop.
Right. So a couple times within the movie, they're weaving things with string, and Grandma talks about time and how it's all connected and it can come apart and come together and be tangled and break and come back together. And so there's that definitely drop. I would not call that science, though.
No, we're not.
Oh, no.
Like, it's the scene where they try to define time.
Yeah.
Or time travel.
This part's a little bit confusing to me. Taki in his own body goes into the... So wait, is this where we... So, okay. So at this point, we realized that they have been swapping bodies from 3 years ago, right? We haven't mentioned this yet. So when he realizes they're like an asteroid, a meteorite, destroyed that town 3 years ago.
Before he makes the journey to the shrine, he spends all night in a library, basically.
Yeah.
Reading about this disaster and what happened. And he's vaguely remembering it from the news from 3 years ago.
So she has gone into his body 3 years into the future. And he has gone into her body 3 years into the past. And my question is, at no point did either of them look at the year on their phones.
Yeah, they show the calendars in depth, February 12th, February 13th. They leave each other daily journals, and no one at any point, like, you would see the, I guess they just get the years out of those.
Well, that's where the memory thing comes in too, where, you know, if they can't even remember the person's body that they were in, then that would definitely be a type of...
They were using iPhones. I'm looking at my iPhone on the big calendar in the upper left corner. It has the year.
But if you can't, I know that, but if you can't, if you've been in someone's body for 120 hours in the last 2 weeks and you can't remember that person's name, then the date's probably going to slip away too.
And apparently they disappear once you find out about them.
Yeah, once you stop swapping.
Loophole.
I'm just going to say, no, not if you bring in memory loss, it cover. I know it's bullshit, but it
But I'm talking about on the phone. Why? No point in the rest of it did the calendar or the diaries disappear.
I mean, they're texting with their friends.
At no point did it disappear.
But the diary is from their phone, from their present. The diary isn't from 3 years ago or 3 years. They write the message.
But it doesn't disappear until he just finds out that it was from 3 years ago. Him finding that out, knowledge-wise, that shouldn't affect the fabric of time, space, or his phone. If it like a comet just hit and then it got erased, fine. But it's just him. The moment he found out it was 3 years ago, that's when it got erased.
When it disappeared. But at no point did he travel 3 years in the past and then look at the date and be like, why is this date 3 years ago?
Yeah.
The year.
It should. I can see why they can't remember it when they swap back. But you're right. It should have come up at some point while they were swapped.
Yeah. So, okay. So he is in this stone cave shrine thing where they left the Spitsaki 3 years earlier, right? Because they're a very old traditional family.
So it had fermented by that point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was good by then.
So he kind of knows that. He recognizes the place because he was there, and he decides to drink some of the sake. And then he goes on like a little acid trip.
He time travels.
He falls backwards and sees the mural on the ceiling of the cave of the comet. So this is definitely, that's when he kind of realizes this is, you know, if it's in this.
Or was that a hallucination?
I don't.
He's her life. He finds that information. He sees about the girl's life and why the mom died and the father left. I don't think it's hallucination. He sees the real business. And he's on like the end of like an umbilical cord, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. He sees her whole life from birth.
Yeah.
And then when he wakes up, he is in her body and she is in his body. And it is before the meteorite has hit.
And he's trying to prevent, he's trying to save her life and trying to make sure she's not there when it hits.
Right. So then the next part of the movie is him in her body trying to evacuate the town and convince everybody that this is going to happen. Now, at what point does she in her own body go into Tokyo? This was before
3 years before they ever started swapping. She went to Tokyo to finally meet him and she goes to him on a train and he doesn't know who she is.
The swapping had stopped, right? And this is before the meteorite had hit. She decides to go into Tokyo to find him. And same thing, she gets there and tries to call him, and it says this number is out of service or whatever it says. And she's kind of wandering the city looking for him, and she finds him on a train.
In the middle of Tokyo.
In the middle of Tokyo.
She finds him.
And he's 3 years younger, and he doesn't know who she is. And as she's getting pushed off the train, he says, you know, what's your name? And she says her name and kind of throws her hair ribbon to him. It's this red hair ribbon. And that's what he's had this whole time. For 3 years, he's had this red hair ribbon on his wrist. Doesn't really know why he always kept it, but he did. And now it all makes sense. That's her ribbon. And later on, they talk about that. But at this point, he in her body is just trying to evacuate the town.
What is she doing at this point?
She's in his body in the future outside the shrine. And then is she trying to get back to somewhere? I
don't know. When do they meet at the lip of the crater?
Right.
Is this when they meet at the lip of the crater?
They meet at the lip of the crater before the meteorite hits. Am I using that right? Is it a meteorite? I mean, I know it's a meteorite when it lands, but is it an asteroid when it like makes devastation? No, it's a meteorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
second guessing myself here. Before it hit.
Okay. So while he's, sorry, because I keep on thinking we should be at the lip. So while he's daydreaming about her life, that's when she's having the flashback about going to Tokyo.
Right.
And then they wake up in each other's body. And then they go straight to the lip when they wake up.
So the edge of the crater.
Where the shrine
is in the very center of the crater at the bottom, and they're on the edge at the top. You know, it's like a bowl. And she is in his body, and he is in her body, and they are 3 years apart.
Yes.
Right? And throughout the movie, I think in the beginning of the movie, someone talked about like right as the sun is setting, it's twilight and it's the golden hour, and it's the time between the veil between two worlds is the thinnest and they overlap in some mystical.
And someone even calls it the magic hour.
Yeah, magic hour.
It's not night, it's not day.
So the sun is setting at this point when they're both on the edge of this crater, and they can kind of hear each other. They're calling out each other's names, but they can't see each other. But then the sun sets and it's golden magic hour, and they can see each other and they can touch each other.
And do they swap back at this point, or do they?
Yes.
Okay.
They instantly swap back. As soon as they see each other, they swap back, and they're talking and they're hugging and touching.
And this is when I think this is kind of weird. They're like really happy to see each other. And then she scolds him for touching her boobs, and he scolds her for getting wrapped up in the relationship, but they're so happy to see each other, but you were a jerk.
They just did this magical thing. They found each other 3 years apart. She's dead through time and space. They found each other. You found this person. You don't have a lot of time. And the first thing is, you touch my booty. Like, come on. You've got limited. You just into time and space. Like, you had to pee. You had to wipe his butt. All these, like, whatever. Yeah, okay. It's
fine. Yeah, one of the rules even is don't bathe. Like, you're not allowed to bathe when you're...
Yeah, you can't go to the bathroom. You can't bathe.
And just to be fair, everybody, she's touching his junk when she's in his body, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're both, you know, enjoying...
He wakes up every morning and grabs his boobs long enough for when the sister comes in to let the sister watch him grabbing his own boobs as her. Not weird. I would just do it with a closed door when my sister's coming in, but whatever.
Or hear her footsteps coming down the hall and maybe
let go. Or her knocking and saying, time to get up, or just like let go of them instead of just squeezing as you're talking to your sister. Yeah. Not weird.
Not at all. It's all good fun. Oh, yeah. So while they're making up and arguing all at the same time, he tells her the comet's going to split up. The meteor's going to hit your town. You're going to destroy it. You got to get everybody out of that town any way possible.
Right. So he says, let's write down each other's names on our hands so we don't forget our names. Cause I guess they do forget the other one's name when they switch back. So the sun is going down and he writes something on her hand and she's about to write something on his hand and she disappears.
Oh yeah.
Magic hour's over.
Magic hour's
so over. The marker drops.
Yes.
On the guy's side. He's like, no, you didn't tell me your name. And he's screaming out to the heaven. And her name is. And then it's like, dude, the marker's right there.
Just write it down.
Just write it down. Yeah. Instead of screaming it out. It's right there. You can write. She doesn't need to write it on you. You can write it yourself. And then he waits. He screams out to the heavens, tries to memorize it. Then when he finally tries to write it, then he forgets.
And then he forgets. So, and the same thing with her. She's like, I don't want to forget his name. I don't want to forget his name. It's important. Whatever it is, it's important. So then proceeds to another, I don't know how many minutes of her running to wherever the hell she's trying to get to. She ran up the hill to get to this thing. She's running down the hill. And there's got to be a good, like,
that's like an anime thing, right?
20 minutes of just traveling by foot or bicycle.
Yeah. Just running and
maybe some emotional uplifting music while that's happening.
Yeah. Music by the Rad Wimps.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
The Rad Wimps did all the music in this. Shout out.
So it's a Japanese rock
band.
Yeah,
so maybe that's why it's a little bit cheeseball. I mean, maybe that's lost in translation a little bit.
Well, and I would love to hear someone, like, I think it's the same price to buy the Japanese one. Like, I might.
Oh, just to hear the Rad Wimp music.
Spend the $4 just to see how different the music is. If it's
probably way better in Japanese and makes probably more sense.
It started in the beginning and I was like, it says 2016, but this sounds a lot older. Oh,
Japanese boy bands, baby. So she gets all her friends together. You know, of course, all of their friends are like fully on board. Out of like Taki's friends are just like, yeah, totally. You're body swapping. I get it. Happens all the time. And her friends are kind of the same way. Like, yeah, totally. You've been body swapping from 3 years ago. So this guy knows how can we help you? And one of her friends, of course, drops a hint at the beginning a good for nothing line that he can get explosives, which comes in very handy at the end of the movie.
So they come up with a plan to try to evacuate the town to the high school, which is outside of the blast radius of the hit. So they try to make this plan. They're going to blow up the power plant and they're going to make an announcement over the speaker, but apparently it's not convincing because they need the mayor of the town to be the one to tell everybody to evacuate.
And who's the mayor?
The mayor happens to be her father.
Ta-da! Oh, we find out in the flashback when he's going through her life that the mother dies young and dad takes off. So that's why it's grandma raising them. And dad's kind of a jerk and, you know, they're not really on good speaking terms. And so he's not really listening to her much. I think he goes to her once. She goes to him once and tries to explain it. And he's just like, I think he goes to her once and he blows her off. But then once everything starts going to shit, and I think at this point the comet has split and you can see that a piece is going to enter the atmosphere, and we don't even see it. We just see her running to dad. And then the next scene is them at the school.
Right. So they're able to get everybody to evacuate and they save everybody's life. And then it's like years later. I think it's like 5 years later.
8 years.
So it's 8 years since the...
8 years, 8 years since the comet. So it's 8 years from her life.
5 years.
5 years from his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're older and they don't remember the name at all, each other's name.
And she didn't write her fucking name on his hand. She wrote, I love you.
No, he wrote it on her.
Yeah.
He wrote on her hand, I love you, instead of writing the name.
Dick move.
And right. Such a.
She actually needed your name, bro. So
you get, doesn't help me at all.
You had stopped worrying about your boobs. You could have given the name and then you know each other.
So they're older now and we kind of are following Taki, and he doesn't even remember why he went to that town, just that he went there with his friends and
he's not satisfied with his life. There's always something missing.
He's always searching for something. He doesn't know what it is. And there's a lot of that, a lot of searching, a lot of like job interviews or something. And
what's she doing? I forget what her gig is.
We don't know.
She made it to Tokyo. She always wanted to get out of her town and she's in Tokyo for whatever reason.
And then they see each other. We're on a train and they get off the train and are running around the
town. On separate trains. They're passing each other.
Yeah.
On trains. They each get off at the next stop and just start running back and
pass each other on the stairs, but don't say anything. And
they pass each other a million times, I feel like. They pass each other like 10 times.
And then finally he says, do I know you? And she says, yes. And then
the end.
No, the last thing.
Oh, right.
They simultaneously saying.
They ask, what's your name?
What's your name?
Ayo.
The end.
Yeah, I don't know. Not my favorite.
So, okay. The time travel. Let's separate the time travel from the movie. The time travel itself. How do you feel about the time travel?
Here it is. Here's the soundtrack, folks. Put those headphones on. It's just that my father gave me would always make
me despair. Yeah, all the music in this, everybody, all of the music is just saying what's going on. It's very...
Now she's walking away down the street, gonna run for a while.
And it's 3 years later, and it's 3 years earlier. Okay, sorry. Back to the podcast.
Time travel.
So as far as time travel goes, has there been another movie or story where... it's a body swap with time travel, 3 years difference.
No, that's pretty unique. We've seen body. There's lots of body swap films.
Yeah.
There's lots of time travel films. Is there a combined body swap time travel? I don't think so.
So it's pretty original.
Oh, wait. Well, I've seen where they go back into their own body in prior years, but not someone else's. But yeah, not a swap.
So it's a consciousness swap.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Consciousness swap.
It's unique. Body swap time travel.
Yeah. So it's unique and interesting that they chose to do 3 years, you know, and that way they can meet each other in the future, you know, once she is saved.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a lot more obvious if they had done more time, right? If they had done 10 years or 20 years, it would have been really obvious as to the swap. But with only 3 years, even the audience, we didn't know. We didn't realize that it was only...
I did guess.
Yeah, Scott did guess. He's like, what if it was...
Except, yeah, I would say, oh, what if they're from different time periods? And then there's like, it's 4 years ago. She's like, yeah, but they both got cell phones. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the cell phone.
If it is time different, it's not super significant.
Yeah, but so then he was right.
As always.
Ha!
But wouldn't he, see, now we're getting...
It's all a loop.
Now we're getting to the year thing again. Like, he would have an iPhone that she didn't even know existed yet.
Oh, yeah, it would have like 3 upgrades, maybe, yeah. Unless they kept the phone for a while.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years, that's not a crazy amount of time to keep a cell phone.
Yeah, you can keep a cell phone for 3 years.
not if you're a cool guy in Tokyo.
But he was really, like, cheap, remember? He's like, stop spending my money on sweets.
That's right.
So maybe he didn't get a new phone every year.
She got to go to a cafe. They don't have cafes in their town. Want to go to a cafe?
You want to go to the Boss soda machine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's like Freaky Friday meets 12 Monkeys.
This has good bones to it.
There's not a lot of holes. The only hole for me was that they would have seen the date at some point, the year at some point on the phones.
And why his phone, why all the stuff disappeared at that point.
Yeah, and then, yeah, exactly. Why all the messages all of a sudden disappeared.
Hole.
Damn it. I was really hoping this conversation was going to make me like it more. But
yeah, if you take out all the like traveling, the running places, the body swapping, there's not much to it.
If this had been number 26 on his list and we were just like, oh, this looks like it's interesting. Let's try this.
Exactly. Why is this his number one?
He's just got to be anime biased. He must just.
Yeah.
There must be something about this style that he loves anyways. And then you throw time travel into it and.
Must be.
He's just. Scott, you got it up?
Yeah. No, I was just looking. It's funny. I looked up. Why is your name good? Why do people like it? And what I found is everyone loves this film. So I'm missing something. Maybe just fans of anime. It's a legendary classic.
Yeah.
For anime, yeah, it's really good. The art is good. The story is original.
It's
super original.
It broke box office records.
It's very Japanese, right? The culture, the style.
Yeah, like the style of flirting.
Yeah, it's obviously very Japanese. I don't think it should have been his number one. It would not have been anywhere near my number one if I were to make a list. But
yeah,
for me, this is a good movie for people who maybe are not huge time travel fans, right? It's time travel light.
Yeah.
For us three here on this podcast, and for most of our listeners, I know that we like time travel. We want time travel heavy, right?
Yeah. We want like Tenet and Interstellar. And we want it like rich.
Primer. Yeah.
Dripping with time travel. Yeah.
We want it complicated and confusing, and it makes your brain hurt.
You don't even understand the movie, then we love it.
Yeah, so this was not that. This was a very sweet, beautiful, original movie about, you know, with time travel in it.
So I just did it. Because I just looked it up. The first time I looked it up, when you were over here on Monday, I looked up both versions, and they were both the exact same. Oh, they both are the same time. Anyways, Prime has the Japanese version is 2010.
That's not what it says in the rest of these.
It came out in 2010?
Yeah. And if you were, you know, if you're an anime aficionado and you see this in 2010 and you're on the cutting edge, like this.
Oh, yeah.
See this standing out a little more. 12 years ago.
2010, this is a little more like breakthrough. Oh my gosh, original, mind-blowing in 2010, for sure. In 2022, a little bit less. Still original, right? No one's ever done this kind of story. You know, the reveal is fun, you know, and when they're like, oh, she's been dead for 3 years. It's like, dun, dun, dun. Wow. That's fun, you know. But, you know, I think for us too, it was so hyped up.
So this is what Barry says. The intricacies of cause and effect of time travel in this film is pretty complicated. Swapping back and forth through time results in the disruption of one timeline and the creation of another. Events of a critical day are rewritten, and we get to see two realities blurring into one unified possibility. Katawardoki. What the fuck is Katawardoki?
But like, he talks about cause and effect, you know, and yeah, it has that, but I wouldn't say it had more of that than say like Predestination, which is all about cause and effect, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he just has a bias towards anime, would be my guess.
Yeah. He talks about how beautiful the animation, again, in the world of anime, this is...
It's beautiful.
One of the classics. I'm going to look up top grossing anime film.
So Katawardoki is Japanese for the magic hour.
Okay. Which is a cool concept, you know? A very mystical, magical way of time traveling.
Oh, and that's definitely the Japanese version, because I think that word may have been made up for this movie. has part of it. What I learned localizing Kimi no Nawa. So this is someone who worked on the film, getting it ready for America.
It was a big deal. And it beat out that year. It beat out at least 2006. It was saying in this 2016, because it was saying even in Japan, it beat out Force Awakens and Jurassic World and a few other big ones. That's saying 2016. So also time travel mysterious.
I think it would be interesting to see them redo it live action. I'm very curious to see J.J. Abrams do this live action with better music.
Yeah, there's definitely some Japanese folklore in here that I'm kind of glad they didn't go out of their way to explain, just because then the whole movie would have stopped. It would have turned into a Japanese history movie. But like the whole Red String of Fate is like a big deal in Japan, just that one portion of the string of time. There's even more here that says, I'll try not to go into it too deep, but it's titled, "At One Point, the English Sub Made Me Rage."
Wow.
Meaning it was incorrect.
There is a scene translated so badly in the official English sub that it messes up the plot coherence.
Oh, wow. Which means the dubbed isn't any better. We watched it dubbed. Did you watch it subtitle or dubbed?
Dubbed.
Yeah, we watched it dubbed too, which, yeah, maybe it just doesn't translate as well. Does the guy who wrote that list, does he speak Japanese?
He must.
Anyway.
Top three anime films. Number one is Demon Slayer, the movie. Number two, Spirited Away. Three, Your Name. Four, Princess Mononoke. Five, Howl's Moving Castle. Six, Ponyo.
I've seen all of those.
All of them?
Yeah. Maybe. Demon Slayer? No, I haven't seen Demon Slayer, but I've seen all the other ones. I'm surprised Akira is not on there.
I know. We saw Spirited Away. I saw Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
You saw Howl's Moving Castle?
Yeah. It's a cool one.
Oh.
They're all really good. Worth seeing. This movie is worth seeing, both if you like time travel and if you just like movies.
But it's not number one.
But it should not be number one as far as time travel goes. I agree with Scott.
Definitely check it out.
Maybe.
And I think
not number one. Barry, it's not number one.
Who is this Barry?
This is Barry.
Here's what makes me angry about this movie. I can't ask my question. If I can't ask my question, then fuck this time travel movie.
Oh, if you could be forced to body swap with a future lover 3 years apart, would you choose to do that? No. I mean, or
okay, day. Well, here, let's do a different question. If you woke up one morning and you were a different sex, the opposite sex, what would you do?
After I grab my boobs?
After you grab your boobs in front of your sister.
Okay.
It's funny because isn't there an 80s movie where a guy and a girl switch bodies and they, you know, they're adults, so they like have sex as the other sex.
Oh yeah.
And you know, for this, it's like, you know, of course that comes to your mind, but these kids are like in high school, so they're not doing that yet. But that's the first thing I thought of. Wouldn't you be curious to experience that as the opposite sex?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'd go run right to the bathroom and mess with their junk. But not in front of the sister. They would be like, hey, let's make an agreement. We're not going to do that. Sure.
Well, and it definitely, you know, they're forced in this movie to do things, you know, go to work, go to school and stuff like that. But, you know, if it became a habit, that would be really fucking cool. Kind of like this movie where you kind of get into a groove of living another person. Like day one, I lock myself in my room and just try to not go crazy. It's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah, I mean, they help each other a lot. Like, she helps him hit on women that he's kind of afraid to. So you can kind of help them out in their lives. Because it's you're like not even taking that seriously. It's not your life. So like, fuck it.
Because, yeah, this skips out on a lot of what makes body swap movies so fun, which is the wacky comedy.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with loved ones. And like, there's a little bit of it, but it's mostly people just getting mad at them for forgetting stuff instead of like, you know, her getting fired because she doesn't know how to do his fucking job.
Yeah, right? How does she know what the dishes taste like?
Seriously.
It's an hour and a half of them getting yelled at. You're right.
Yeah. So yeah. So check it out. Enjoy it. Just don't
get your hopes up.
Yeah. This is not going to change your life. It's a great time travel movie. One you should definitely see, but you'll survive the mania.
Maybe don't buy the soundtrack.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Arielle Glaw.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
See you next time. Bye-bye now.
Oh, by the way, Scott, I put your
cucumber in the oven.
Poster above your bed.
Your mascara in the microwave.
Your
put the salami in the sandwich.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.